Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. And it is good to be here this evening. And today's topic, the topic of the day, the message, the title of the message is, What is Love? And we're going to be getting into what God's Word says about love. And we're going to be getting into some things tonight that's probably going to make some people angry. Because a lot of people have taken thou shalt love your neighbor and twisted it to where their version of love is not being chastened, not exposing what sin is, just leaving them be as it is. So we're going to deal with that issue tonight, and we're going to be dealing with the topic of love and what biblical love is and what true love is. So pray for me as I will preach this evening. And this message, the devil's probably not going to like it. So pray that this broadcast would be uninterrupted. But pray that God will have his way and will. Pray that God will be glorified in all this. Pray, you know, please, you know, pray that God will just take this and use it in a mighty way. Amen. But before we begin, we'll start with prayer requests. So if you have any prayer requests you'd like to mention, you can feel free to enter it in the comments there. Or if you're going to be watching it on YouTube, you can put it on the comments there. But if you don't want to, that's fine. That's completely up to you. But if you have any prayers or praises, you may put them there as you like. But for me, if you can pray for me, pray for the message tonight, pray for ministry, pray for me. I have not been doing very well. It's been very tough for me the last few days, and I'm still going through a toughness right now. So pray for me, pray for my ministry, pray that for this video, Brother Joey, if you're gonna come across this at some point, you guys pray for him. He has pain here and there. He's got some pain that he has to kind of endure certain days, and so pray for him in this pain that he's going through. Now I asked Brother Chris for his permission, and he seemed like he was okay with me mentioning him, but he's got an unspoken prayer request, so I'm not sure what it is, don't want to know, but if you guys can keep Brother Chris in your prayers, he's a very good brother in the Lord. He's been very encouraging to me, and I'm hoping that I can be an encouragement to him, but he's been an encouragement to me, and he's been one of those people that has, you know, really stuck by me, and as a brother, he's come to my defense on numerous times. So pray for him, pray for his unspoken. Let's see, I think that's going to be it for prayer requests. So if you have any prayers or praises, again, you can feel free to share that if you'd like. But other than that, I think that's going to be it. So let's go ahead and let's dive into the message, shall we? Because I got a lot to talk about. I got a lot of verses. So be prepared to go everywhere in the Bible. For those of you that and how I preach, I use a lot of scripture. And I do that because I believe the whole counsel of God. And, you know, getting some in Genesis, getting some from the Psalms, the Proverbs, some in the Gospels, some like in Revelation, you know, just getting everywhere. But I also believe that preaching the whole counsel is not just preaching on one particular subject. It's preaching on God's holiness, God's justification, you know, sanctification, the Holy Ghost, the purpose of the church, you know, all these things Jesus said, Jesus commanded that we should go and teach and preach every, you know, to teach and preach everything that he taught us, we're supposed to go teach and preach. And he said the Holy Ghost will give us from the Word of God, the Holy Ghost will bring to remembrance things that Christ had taught us in his Word. Amen. So preaching the whole counsel of God is very important. So I'm going to be going through a lot of scriptures tonight. So if you guys want a copy of my notes, I can maybe try to see if I can arrange something like that. Just talk to me on Messenger. If you're comfortable with giving your email, I would be more than happy to give you the notes to the message. And that way you can have the scripture references and all that stuff, okay? So if you guys want that, that's okay. So with that said, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Whoops. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Leviticus 19:18 is where we're going to be starting tonight. Again, the title of the message is What is Love? And we're going to go through and talk about what is true love and what's not. Okay? Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. It says, that's Numbers. Whoops. I'm in the wrong one. I looked at that. I'm like, that's not the verse. There you go. Leviticus 19, verse 18. It says, Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Okay? Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Okay? Don't bear grudges. Don't have anything against your own people. You know, and a lot of so-called Christians do that. When you preach the truth, and when these quote-unquote Christians hear the truth and they don't like it, they'll have grudges against you. And then they'll tell you, and they'll say something like, well, you don't keep the doctrines of Christ. We're supposed to love one another. Well, let me tell you something about that, okay? When we preach the Word of God as we should, we are abiding in the doctrines of Christ. So therefore, we are loving one another. What's going on is these people that have an issue with you preaching, they're the ones that are intolerant. They're the ones that are the hypocrites. They're the ones that are not loving others as they should. And they're coming after you because they don't like what you say. Okay? Now, the commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself, is a commandment that is taken way out of context and twisted by a lot of churches and individuals today. A lot of times the context that a lot of individuals and churches from the charismatic movement or even the social gospel movement will tell you that you need to love others as Christ does. In other words, what they're trying to tell you is they don't want you exposing their sin. They don't want to be chastised. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want you telling them that their sin is wrong. They just want to live like they are, live like the devil, and be a Christian. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not what the Bible teaches. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. You know what? Let me pull that up because I don't want to butcher that. Be ye holy. Okay. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 7. Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Listen, holiness is a big part of the Christian life, and God wants you to be sanctified, set apart, and to be holy as He is holy. That means you have to take sin out of the equation. Now, does that mean we're going to be sinless? No, but that means we're going to be chased as believers. We're going to be chastised for our sins. And we need to call out sin as it is. And by not doing that, that is doing a disservice to people. Amen? We need to call out sin as it is. Now, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but people who don't want their sin exposed, or they just want to live like the devil and be a Christian, quote unquote, which, by the way, is an oxymoron. You can't do both. You either will hate sin and love the Lord, or you will hate the Lord and love sin. Okay? But the Bible speaks and calls these people that want to live in sin bastards, because they are not children of God. Brandon, you just cursed. You just swore. First off, a bastard is an illegitimate child. So that's not a curse word. A bastard is an illegitimate child. And by the way, that's what you are if you're not a child of God. If you don't have chastisement in your life, you're probably not saved. If you're not saved, you are not a child of God. Okay? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You want to know something? People who don't want to be corrected, and people that don't want their sins to be out in the open, the Bible says they're brutish. Think about this. Natural brute beasts. They're reprobate. Beasts only have one nature, don't they? And those people are brutish. Those who don't want their sin. Those who live in sin and call themselves Christians, and they don't want their sin exposed because they don't want to repent. They're brutish. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18 through 19. I counsel thee to buy of me gold trodden in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. So let me tell you something. God takes this very seriously. Okay? If you fail to expose sin in anyone's life, God's going to hold you accountable. But let me tell you something. If you expose the sin, and the people are so stiff-necked and hard-hearted, they don't want to listen, and they want to call you every name in the book, then as Paul says, their blood be upon their own head. My hands are clean. Okay? If you warn and they don't listen, God will not hold you accountable, but he's going to hold them accountable, but he won't hold you accountable. Okay? God, we have to warn about sin. Because let me tell you something. You know what's going to happen? You know what sin does? Sin just doesn't separate you from God. If you choose to live a life of sin, you're choosing to end up in hell. And hell is a place where the fire burns. You're going to be in torment. You wish you would come, you'd wish that you would send somebody to warn people of that place. And by the way, guess what? No one's going to be sent from hell back up to warn your family members. They've got the prophets. They've got the apostles. They've got God's word. It's just a matter of them having to accept or reject it. So if you want to live a life to reject Christ and live a life in sin, you're going to end up in a devil's hell where you will be tormented. And guess what? You will be brought back up again, and you will stand before a mighty God, a very holy and righteous God, and the books are going to be open. And if your name's not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, okay, your works are going to be read out loud in front of everybody. And if you're and by the way, you will be judged what is written out of those books. And eventually you will be tossed into the lake of fire, where your torment will rise up forever and ever, the smoke of your torment, and you will not have rest day or night. I don't know about you, but I don't want to end up in hell. And I beseech all of you, if you don't want to go to hell, you know Jesus Christ paid that price so you wouldn't have to. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? Christ paid that price in full. He paid it with his life, so that if you put your faith and trust in him, and you believe in your heart, and you profess with your mouth that he is who he says he is, and you put your faith and trust in what he did for you at the cross, you will be able to be saved from your sins, but you will also be able to be gone. You will also will be saved from going to hell, and you will be able to have a place in heaven forever and ever. Which will you choose? Choice is yours. I'm not going to apologize for that either. Failure to point out sin in a person's life, God will hold you accountable for that. Amen. I'm going to scroll down here. So as we see, God says that when He loves you, He will chasten you. He will convict you. He will expose you, expose your sin to you, that you may be sorry for what you did, so that you might repent. So already from this passage of Scripture, these churches that have this love idea that you can just live like the devil and live in sin and you think you still can go to heaven, you're wrong. You're absolutely dead wrong. That is not what the Bible teaches. If you think love we just need to compromise and not say anything about each other's sins and just get along, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. Because that's not what the Bible teaches. If you think that, then you're sorely mistaken. If you think that, you're sorely deceived. And you need to read your Bible. Amen. So, what I like to do is let's look into more what God says love is, as well as show you what love isn't. Okay? Are you guys with me so far? I hope you are. Is this making sense to you? I hope this is making sense. I hope this is not complicated or anything that you're like, you know, what's going on here? I don't know what's going on. You know, I hope this is making sense to you because I want this to be simple. Yeah, that's right, Brother John. There is no repentance without Holy Ghost conviction. And by the way, that conviction is chastisement. So if you have no chastisement, you are what the Bible is called. You are what the Bible is called as a bastard. If you don't have no chastisement, you are a bastard because you are not God's child. And we touched on that at the beginning. Now, love is mentioned 310 times in your King James Bible. But if you put an asterisk at the end of it, it ends up being 521 times in your King James Bible. So, what does God say about love? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Excuse me. I just got a drink of water real quick. We're not to allow sin to be, we're not to suffer upon anyone. In other words, we're not to let sin go by. We need to expose that. Amen. Jesus says that we are to be a light. That we are a light set on a hill. So guess what? You know what light does? Light exposes what's in the darkness. Light exposes sin. So by the way, if you're not exposing sin, either A, you don't have the light, or B, you have the light, you just have a fear of man. Because light exposes what's in the darkness. Jesus is that light. And by the way, the light that we have is not ours. That light that shines within us is the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost ignites it. Amen? The Holy Ghost ignites it. Psalms 97:10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil.
He preserved the souls of his saints. He delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. Amos 5:15. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 17. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ hates sin. Let me ask you a question, believer. Is that your attitude? Do you hate sin? Do you hate every false way? I didn't say, do you hate your brothers? I said, do you hate sin? Do you hate every false way? Do you? Because if not, that might be something you might need to check with the Lord on and check your heart. Examine thyself whether ye be in the faith. Amen? Because a true born-again believer will hate sin and will hate his own sin. Amen? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 4 and go to 15. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and the houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Let the anger of the Lord thy God be against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You know, that's pretty intense. Our God is a jealous God. He wants you to worship him, and him alone shall you worship. Amen. Our God wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want you taken. And by the way, these people that live in sin but then call themselves Christians, you know what they're doing? They're taking the Lord's name in vain. They're saying they're Christians and they believe in God, and yet they're living like the devil, and they're not born again. They're dragging the Lord's name through the mud. That is taking the Lord's name in vain. And God says, don't do that. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? Don't take his name in vain. That's not just cursing his name. That's also living like the devil and claiming you're a Christian and living like the devil, and you're really not born again. Let's get real tonight, folks. Let's not play games. Okay? We're not here to play games. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Love is not to be concealed. You're not to conceal love. Okay? Proverbs 27, verse 5 through 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. And showing mercy on the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 10. And showing mercy on the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 9 through 11. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hate him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. If you truly fear the Lord as you say you do, you will speak out against sin. Remember, be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. The Lord wants you to be holy as he is. And sometimes, and by the way, God's holiness is not a popular topic. They will hate you, and they will hate your guts for preaching that. But God's holiness is a big aspect of who God is, and it needs to be preached, whether people like it or not. Second John chapter 1 verse 6. And this is the love that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Revelation 22:14 through 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. For without dogs are sorcerers and whoremongers, and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Those who love and make a lie are those who take God's commandments and twist them. In other words, you know what people do? They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They use the scripture to justify their sin. And God does not like that. Jude chapter 1 verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So these churches are taking love thy neighbor and twisting it into lasciviousness to justify their way of sinning. Because they don't want to let go of their little pet sin. Oh, I want to believe and follow Christ, but I don't want to give up my sin. Too bad. If you choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be things you will give up. And sin is a big one. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be sinless, because you'll still fall short after being born again. But there are certain things you will have to give up. Amen? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The quote-unquote Christians that will tell you that you need to follow Christ's doctrine, but most of these quote-unquote Christians are hypocrites, because they're demanding you follow Christ's doctrine while they won't follow Christ's doctrines and commandments because of sin in their lives. Therefore, they have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. So in other words, you might get people that might say, well, you don't follow Christ's doctrines because you said this and this and this. Well, they're hypocrites because they themselves don't even follow Christ's doctrines. And because of their sin, they're saying that because they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Does that make sense with you guys? They are wolves in sheep's clothing, and they are religious Pharisees. That's what they are. And they don't care. Psalm 109:5. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. 1 John 4:20-21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. By the way, let me ask a question. If these so-called Christians have an issue with what you're preaching, why don't they just pull you off to the side and say, hey, this is not right because of this and this and this? Why do they have to openly attack you because of what you preach? A true born-again believer, if he sees another believer in the wrong, he'll pull him off to the side and speak to him and say, you're wrong because this is why. But these so-called pharisaical Christians, they don't do that. They will attack you like crazy. They'll bite your head off and crucify you. They'll get angry for you for no reason, which, by the way, God sees that as murder. I want you guys, if you guys get a chance, if you go to my YouTube channel, you just type in Fisherman Brandon Swanson, I should pull up. There's a live devotional I did called Pharisees Are Murderers. You guys should check that out if you get a chance. I'll post it. I'll post it with this teaching, so it'll complement that, okay? So if you guys get a chance, watch that. Watch that devotional. Because this will tie into that, okay? So it's called Pharisees Are Murderers. And they are. But these people, they won't pull you off and tell you what you did was wrong. They'll just say, well, you can't say this. You're blah, 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 blah. Call you any every name in the book. That shows you they're not born again. They're about as lost as a goat in the desert. As I would like to say, they're more jumped up than a rattler in the desert. But not really. So 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, scoffers walking after their own lusts. That's what these Pharisees are. That's what these religious Christians are. They're walking after their own lusts. That's what they say. You got to love one another because they don't want you exposing their sin. They just want to walk after their own lusts. This Bible is right, isn't it? And those people are scoffers, by the way. They're scoffers. Romans 1:28-32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up over to a reprobate mind to do these things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Think of Pharisees now. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate, concerning the faith. Okay. Really quickly, and I'll give you an example, and then we'll close. Okay. I'm going to close with the charity chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. That's where we're going to close. But before I do, as many of you know, I made some comments on Facebook that were very unpopular, which I will not apologize for, because I stand by it, because that's what the Bible teaches. And I was called a racist, well, no, not a racist, I was called a sexist pig, and every name that you can ever think of, I was called. Oh, that was a sexist statement. Let me tell you something. When you call me a sexist, you're not calling me a sexist. You're calling the Lord Jesus Christ a sexist. And he's not going to take that lightly on Judgment Day. Okay? And what you're doing by attacking me is you've got sins in your life that you don't want to let go. You've got sins in your life that you don't want to let go. And you know very well that you're guilty of them, and you're coming at me because you don't like the light being shown in your life, and because of it, you have to deflect on me and hate on me and get angry at me for no reason, which is, God sees that as murder. And God will hold, and by the way, God's going to hold that accountable too. It doesn't matter if it's believer or non-believer. God will hold that accountable. He will hold us accountable. So let's be careful to not get angry with our brothers and sisters for no reason. Let's think. You know, sometimes it's better to keep our mouths shut and not say anything and just let them say whatever they want, because they're just making themselves look like a donkey by all the negative stuff. Amen. Last but not least, we're going to close. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the charity chapter. We're going to take a look at what love is not. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things,
hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Charity does not puff itself up. Charity does not behave unseemly. Do you get that, all you hypocritical Christians? If you really loved others and loved Christ as you should, you wouldn't be acting and behaving in an unseemly manner by attacking God's people. Think before you speak. Don't be stupid. You have a brain. Let's use the brain and let's not go off on a tangent and start attacking God's people because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing according to the Word of God. Okay? If it's something that you've done and you know is wrong, then you need to repent of it. Don't attack the preacher because he's preaching something that you can't stand. If you're just going to act all seemly, then it's better for you just to walk away and not say anything. But don't ever attack God's people. Don't ever attack any preacher that preaches the truth. Because you attack them, your behavior is an unloving manner. Think before you speak and think before you act. Don't act because you get mad and want to have a hissy fit and want to start calling everybody names. Think before you speak. Think before you act. It's better to keep your mouth shut and not say anything and think things through. Amen? Listen. Not trying to be mean. Not trying to be mean. Okay? I'm trying to tell it as it is. People have an issue with that. If I said something wrong, God will deal with me on that. I want you guys to do me a favor. I don't want you taking my word for things. I want you to take what I say and you compare it with the Word of God. If what I say does not match with this, then let God be true and let Brandon be a liar. But if what I said matches with what this Bible says, I pray and ask that the Lord will show you what I'm talking to you about. But if I'm wrong, I will have to stand before Almighty God and give an account for that. One of these days. Listen, I love you. I'm not trying to be mean, okay? I don't hate anybody. For those of you that know me, for a while, you know where my heart is. But I have to preach things that are not favorable. Amen. Listen, really quickly, believers, if there's something that you know that you did is wrong, it's better for you, it's better for the Holy Ghost to chastise you and you go before Him and repent of your sin. Amen. Than to not repent at all. Non-believers, I want to beseech you. If you don't repent of your sin, you're going to end up in hell. And you're going to end up in the lake of fire. I don't want you to go there.
non-believers, I beseech you, please, repent of your dead works. Repent of your sin. Come to Christ. If you believe in your heart and you profess with your mouth and you put your faith and trust at what Christ did for you at the cross, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. It's not about... Yes, we need to know who Christ is. But the question is, does Christ know you? Really quickly. Oops. Turn with me to Matthew 7 real quick. Matthew 7. And I promise we'll be done. Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, 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 have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Let's stop right there for a second. There's three things mentioned. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. They are mentioning about all their good works that they've done. And not once was there any faith. It was all good works. It was all works. In verse 23, it says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I think many are going to be very surprised thinking that they believed they say they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and they realized that it was all about works. You know why? Because that's what the Pharisees were all about. Works. I beseech all you non-believers and all you religious Pharisees, repent of your dead works and turn to Christ while there's still time. It's not God's will for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Amen. Amen. Sister, good to see you. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Appreciate you. Hope it was a blessing to you. Hope it was a blessing to all those who will be watching. Listen, I pray for me, all right? I'm having a tough time. Really having a tough time. These last few days, even today, is just tough for me. So pray for me. Pray for my ministry. Pray for this video. Pray that God will use it and take it. And pray that God will be glorified in all this. Amen. Love you guys. Love you. And you guys are amazing. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate your friendship. Appreciate your encouragement. Appreciate you all. You pray for me. Pray for my ministry. Pray for people like Pastor Mike. Pray for him because he needs it. Pray for his ministry. Pray for pray for all these good Bible preaching pastors that are out there. Pray for all these great Bible preaching
evangelists that are out there preaching the word. Pray for them. They need it. Pray for our government. Pray for our leaders. Pray for President Trump. Pray for Vice President Pence. Pray for your governors. Pray for them. Pray that God will do a mighty work. Maybe just this somehow, maybe we'll just intervene and just slow all this corruption down a little bit. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't look good. And this nation may very well be getting what it deserves. Amen. But pray for your leaders. Amen. Pray for your leaders. Pray that the churches would repent. Just pray that there may be a revival that could happen in this nation. Amen. Anyways. Wow. It's 10:44. Man, I gotta get going because I got stuff I gotta do. Listen, guys, I love you. Appreciate you. Hope this was a blessing. Pray for me. Pray that. Just keep me in prayer. Amen. I'm kind of warm here, so I'm kind of breathing, you know, a little harder, but shouldn't. I'm sitting down. Back hurts a little bit, so, but pray for me. Listen, guys, I love you. God bless you. This is Brother Brandon. I'm signing off for the day, signing off for the evening. God bless you guys. I love you. We'll see you next time. God bless you guys. Love you. See ya.